Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Yo, nephew, hand me that bar stool. You know what it is and for what it's worth. You can catch me on the best corner 21st. Prime time, shine time, always in the game, never ever on the sideline. You know what it is and for what it's worth. You can catch me on the best corner 21st.
Welcome to 21st and Prime. My main man, Jamie Dukes. Ron will be joining us shortly. Sponsored by Heineken 00. That's zero alcohol, 69 calories. The reason why I am lean and mean and a winning machine right now, Mr. Dukes.
Winning, an absolute winning machine, you know. And so here's what's so funny about that now, you know. And I tell people, I told Ron this. I said, you know, every time somebody put their mouth on you.
You gotta explain. You can't just say put their mouth on you. This
well,
is
part okay, of okay, thing. Okay.
Explain
okay,
so, what you're
so,
saying.
So I think we've known each other since 80s. Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody who said something, for the most part, you know, somebody yeah. public where there's something
that derogatory.
Derogatory yeah. towards you, something always seems to happen to them. Not death and all the crazy stuff, but something always seems to happen. Now, that's why I was asking now, because if I remember correctly, hey, Ron, and you're going to appreciate this. Remember I told you, Ron, remember I said, anybody who messes with Colts, something always seems to happen. Remember that story?
Yes, that's a fact.
So do you recall this spring, Jackson State got beat by this one team that we just saw?
Alabama A&M.
Mm-hmm. Alabama A&M, and the coach was yakking, right?
Yeah.
So what happens now? You get a 61 and some change beatdown.
Yeah. And I would admit, I'm not petty by any means, and I don't talk about my opponent. I don't even engage in that foolishness, even when I play, which is
– Did you say engage in that – bill? What'd you say?
Bull junk.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you hear that?
I know he wouldn't say anything but bull joke.
Okay. You know,
yeah,
you
gotta... I'm going to engage in a bull joke. But okay. It's funny that when I heard the scooter comment.
Coach, yeah. Wait a minute. Coach, I got a question for you. So my mom hits me the other day. She says to me, I used the word mofo the other day.
You can't do that.
She says that's cursing.
That's cursing.
Then what's wrong with – what's the difference between what you just said?
Bull junk.
Oh, come on. What's the difference?
It's not the same thing. Like, you're really implying. I'm not implying. See, the mo and the fo are really close because those are the, I'm not going to say prefixes, but the initials M and the F is what you're really deliberately trying to say. Bull junk is bull and junk.
Bull,
it has nothing to
bull,
do.
You almost said bull. It sounded like you said bull. Wrong.
No.
What's the difference?
No.
You know that yours is a shortened version of these cuss words that he's trying to avoid. He's going a whole different way with it.
Yeah.
He's switching it up entirely. He's going a whole different direction
bull
with it.
Bull junk and bulls is...
Whoa.
Yeah. See what you just said? That sounded close. You almost slipped up and said it. I would never do that.
I had to ask you about it because it sounded like you was
I
going
I said bull junk. Bull junk and that other bull is nothing alike.
It's a whole different set of rules. It's a whole different set of words. I don't know if you guys got into it yet either, but we got to talk about this this Heineken competition that is going on for the entire month of October, and it's basically just for the folks out there to have their sober October and let us know what their reasoning is for a sober October. And we're giving out a free 21st and Prime merch package to anybody that submits a picture or video with their Heineken 0.0. You tag us on any social media and hashtag SoberTruthTober. Let us know what your reason is for staying sober this month. I know my reason is that I'm getting into terrible shape. I'm slipping into awful shape. I put on like 8 pounds this weekend.
Marriage does that. That means your wife is cooking.
She's cooking.
That means she's cooking, and you're at home more. That's all that means.
But is it a bad thing?
That's a great thing.
That's a great thing. Yes,
it's a great thing.
I don't think I have the frame to put on weight, though. Like, I'll look sloppy if I put on weight.
You look good, Ron. You just never want to be skinny fat. That's the worst fat there is. Like, skinny fat is the worst.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of weight I put on. I'm not going to put on mass.
Fat fat's pretty bad, too, Coach. I'm just saying. Fat fat is pretty bad.
But fat fat is common. Skinny fat is you got to try to do that. You got to try to do that.
No. You, matter of fact, you don't have to try to do skinny fat.
Because if you're big, I'm not gonna say people are fat because that's not proper. But if you're big and you have big parents, you're probably gonna be big. But if you're slim and you have slim parents, then you become big. That's not good,
Coach. Do you have big bias? Like as a, are you always a football coach? No matter where, everywhere you go, it could be a deacon. It could be somebody you see, and then you see somebody who's big, and you say, he's too big. His thighs are scrubbing. He could have been a good guard. Do you see everybody you see as a football player?
No, I don't. I don't. Now, I have run across a couple girls that I said she could have been a good guard. She could, because she had that toughness, that mental toughness, and that tenacity. And she was a little short. You know, she had some nice shoulders.
Anytime I see a woman who does track and field, I'm like, if she's throwing a hammer or a discus or something like that, you know she can play guard.
Our girls who went to the Olympics this year for USA, they had some nice shows. That's all I'm saying.
They can play guard. Why not? Let them get out there.
If we could put them up on the screen, beautiful women, wonderful women, they were very good at their craft. They had some nice shows.
Let me tell you, a former NFL player whose sister, you can put her up on the screen too. She looked like she might have been an all-pro guard. Nick Mangold. Did you ever see his sister who was an Olympic weightlifter?
That's not nice, Jamie.
What?
You can't say somebody's sister could be all-pro guard, dog.
When you see her, she is one of the best power lifters in the world. Like, I mean, she's...
Don't try to clean it up now.
That's the fact. When you see her... Look her up on the phone, Coach.
Well, do you think she could help the Chiefs right now? Because the Chiefs, defensively, that's hard to fix. What I'm seeing right now, defensively, is hard to fix.
Yeah, they're giving up 30 points a game. And their offense has some of the most firepower that you've ever seen in the NFL. But even if you have all that firepower, once you go down by 17 points, you can't expect every single week Patrick Mahomes to bail you out.
Right. And Josh Gordon told me to tell you hi, Jamie.
That was a nice catch he had.
He told me to tell you.
It was a real nice catch.
He had a nice catch, didn't he?
That, don't go for it, Ron. He's insinuating something else.
Oh,
hey, can we turn on the air, please? Feel like I'm in, you know what, in here.
That was now. Does you know what? Is that like cursing too?
What?
That's not like cursing. You know what? How did you know what?
Why would you insinuating that I was insinuating something else? See how your mind went?
No, you said it was hot as you know what. That's the only thing that gets hot as
you know what is the furnace.
That's right. Come on, man.
I got to drink some water.
He's trying to get him in trouble.
Hey, Roan, are you believing in your Eagles or what, man?
No.
I'm not believing in my Eagles not that much because I know that they have an uphill battle to climb, and it seems like the Cowboys are going to win that division. But I got a bone to pick with.
Dak, you know, they can say what they want. Dak, to me, is MVP-ish.
Right now, I agree.
MVP-ish.
He is.
They're trying to give it to the kid in Arizona, which he's balling. But statistically, Dak is Dak right now. Statistically.
Five games in? there's three guys I think who are statistically,
Jamie, completion percentage, touchdowns per interception. Statistically, they can't touch it. You can look up the all you want. You can look up there all you want.
I'm saying old man for five. He got 16 touchdowns. Old man just threw five touchdowns.
Oh, you mean Brady?
Well, old man just threw – he's leading the league in touchdowns.
I was talking about between – no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I digress. I was just talking about between those two. But, no, Brady is definitely there. But I get sick of them just trying to throw someone up there to be the MVP. Like in college football. I try to stay away from college language because I'm a college head coach. But to begin the season, it's almost like they try to influence you to see – to tell you who should be Heisman candidates instead of you just letting it play. Let the record play. And now,
but that's, but that's
that stuff that they predicted is not what you thought it was.
Well, back up. I want to back up to Kansas City first. So, have they hit the wall, you think? Because like you said, what they're having problems defensively, that's a problem. That's a problem if you can't stop.
Yeah, but I feel like they can still come back and win the division. I really do.
No, I get that part, but I'm just saying, but do you think they've hit that wall where they can't, you know, Buffalo put on a show?
Kansas City did this last year or the year before. They did the same thing defensively. Exactly. And then I think game 10 or something like that, they fixed it. They got it together. And, you know, they ended well. But they had to tweak it and get it together. I don't know if it's the defensive front or the secondary, but it looked like it's all-inclusive right now. It looked bad.
Yeah, you could tell that Tyrann Mathieu is upset with the play of the rest of the defensive backs, specifically George Sorensen. There's been like five deep balls where Tyrann Mathieu's just throwing his hands up saying, when are you going to help me out and give me some deep coverage here in the deep third of this field? But I think that once they get some of their injuries back, I know that once you can pair up Frank Clark and Chris Jones again, right, once those injuries are out of the way, I That's think right. that they'll be going in the right direction. And I think that the way that their division is going, I mean, the Raiders look like a juggernaut, but now the Raiders are in a little bit of turmoil where the Chiefs are going to eventually find their level.
That could propel the Raiders forward.
Okay.
It depends on how they handle this. This could bring everyone together and make them say, you know, everybody think we're going to fall. I mean, the leaders are going to come together and say, we're going to turn this around.
What are you referring to?
To benefit us. Excuse me?
What happened to the Raiders? What are you talking about?
You know darn well what I'm talking about.
Well, everybody else, you ain't said nothing. You just
well, John Gruden. Ron, will you set the stage, please?
Thank you. Just
John Gruden hit for the cycle, as Adam Schefter said, of being homophobic, racist.
Homophobic? You can stop right there. If you're that, you said anything about that area, it's over. It's a wrap. Leave that alone. Leave that alone.
Yeah, he's the first ever coach of an openly gay player. So even though this isn't stuff he said this year, he's coaching Carl Nassib, who's the first openly gay player. So it adds this layer of insult to injury where it's like, did he actually think something different? Now, I don't necessarily think that he was – I don't know his actions. I don't know him as a person. But you can't be saying that kind of stuff, especially over email.
What all did he do? What all did he say? Because I'm still – I got some of it, but not all of it because I'm a busy guy. But I got some of it, but not all of it. What is all of it?
What did you say?
He said a word that what starts with an F that pertains to gay people.
Okay.
It's old
right there. That's it.
Yeah, right there.
It's right there. It's old.
He talked about D. Maurice Smith's lips. What did he say?
It's the inference of the lips and the monkey stuff, I guess, is the lips. You don't have to say anything past the lips. That's the stereo.
No, I mean, well, what did he say? I don't know what he said. Say what he said. What did he say?
Well, he frequently referenced his big lips, his such and such lips. Maurice Morris with them big old purple lips. Maurice Morris, he mentioned, so I think it was 11 times they said that he mentioned his lips.
He called Roger Goodell, I think, gay and that he hated football. I think that he was sending pictures.
So he was just talking about people. So he was just talking about people in general.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He's not built for the times we're in where you
start. Okay. See, what I'm trying to establish is all this is wrong. All this is wrong. But it's not white or black right there.
It's all the inappropriate. Right. But the white black is the empty. That's the thing. So here's the statement I got for both of you. This is Jamie's statement. I don't care what anybody thinks. John Gruden is no more racist than I am, and John Gruden is no less racist than I am. I'll say it again. John Gruden is no more racist than I am, and he's no less racist than I am. The reference to Maurice's lips, now you can't do it just like you can't use the F word. You can't use the F word, but you could use the F word. You couldn't use the R word. You couldn't use the little people word. You couldn't use a lot of words that have been used and been people part of people's vernacular. Number one, I say, I know John Gruden, and everybody, I'm sure you do too. And there's a difference between inappropriate language.
I just want to interject. I don't know him like that. It's on you.
That's okay, then that's fine.
It's all on you. Yes.
This is all on
me. Hey, can you, can y'all put Jamie on the side by himself and put me and Ron on the other side?
Over there, right there. Right.
Can you do that? Yeah, there you go. You by yourself. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. So, good job.
So I know John Gruden, and I also know what he said was, because see, I have said, talking about somebody that I thought might have been a racist, I have said that country boy, that hillbilly. Mm-hmm. I have said that. I can say that. I don't care what anybody, I have said that.
Person to person, not on an email.
It doesn't matter. I might have said it a hillbilly.
No, that matters. No, that matters. That matters.
No, I didn't.
That matters.
But that's stupidity, though.
Thank you.
That's stupidity. That's the fifth.
This is all I'm trying to establish.
He hit for the cycle, right. Then pissed a no hitter.
There you go.
He pissed a no hitter with that.
Email.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that, you know, but you just can't say certain things, and he has to pay the penance because of his history.
What do you mean history?
In other words, the history has caught up to him. Same thing was happened with Me Too. Things that people had done in the past, when they come to light, that leads to a certain penance that has to happen.
I put out a quote, a morning word this morning. You get it, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Let me see it. Let me see where it is.
Hang on. I got it.
Okay. I said, you better be who you say you are, because our yesterday is becoming our today. Put this on the screen too, booze, while I'm talking. You better be who you say you are, because our yesterday is becoming our today. What you said, did, or even thought is being judged by executioners with no remorse. I'm praying for you, me, and everyone in between, because the last time I checked, we all had a butt. Think about that. Now, not only has Gruden fallen and he won't get up no time soon, but I'm praying for him. They went after Chappelle as well. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Or in Rome, you could probably explain that as well. We're not through with Gruden, but you could probably explain the Chappelle target as well. And this is this is what he does.
People thought that Dave Chappelle talked for too long about trans people, and he has his last couple specials, he's touched on trans people, and this time people have felt like he's gone too far about trans people, or he's joked too much about trans people, or he said too much about trans people. And I saw these criticisms before I even watched the special. And it's honestly something that happens these days where you hear something bad about someone and it's almost like they want you to have the pitchforks before you even watch it and see what he's saying. But then I watched the special And I didn't feel like it was that different from any other comedy special. He was trying to make jokes.
That's because you weren't hit, though. See, they say a hit dog will howl.
You know what, Jamie? That's good. That's good what you just said. It's really good.
Now, there is a key distinction here in how, see, Chappelle could continue to do whatever and really kind of get, you know, away, if you would, because he's a comedian. He's a lone ranger. He's a one player player. You know, one sport player. He works for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Gruden works for the most cherished bastion of virtue in sports worldwide. Now, the biggest sport might be soccer, but the cherry. You know, I don't see 182 million people watching or 50 million people watching South Africa play Italy in the final. I hadn't seen that yet. Maybe it happened, but I hadn't seen that. But I know good and well. The NFL starts his clock with 140 mil at Super Bowl. Jay-Z and them with 140 million people see Jay-Z, and we're going to see what they do up or down from there. Mm-hmm. So to that end, Gruden working for the National Football League in that position, there was no other choice.
True. The thing about this whole thing that I'm taking aback is, like, it's almost a decade later. It's almost like it's no safety anymore in your yesterday. It's no safety in my past. And am I going to be allowed to grow from my past? That I was that then. But you know what? I'm not that anymore. The Bible says when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Am I ever going to be able to become a man in society these days?
No.
Because
no.
I feel as though life goes in consecutive levels of five. When I was 10 to 15, Ron, I thought a certain way. When I was 15 to 20, I was a certain way. 20 to 25, 25 to 30. It's almost like in fives, I matured. 50 to 55 has been, I'm in there right now. And it's a different me than 45 to 50 because of my location and
your vocation.
There you go.
Your oration.
There you go.
Your motivation.
And my application.
No, was that spoken? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But are we ever going to get an opportunity for growth?
No.
Because it seems that's over.
It's over. And
I wonder who. This was stumbled upon by mistake, I'm hearing, that it was an investigation on the Redskins that his email to the former general manager was disclosed. They weren't even looking for him. That's what they say. This man, rightfully so, because there's some very cruel and foul things, and I'm not underestimating what he said and the severity of it, and shoot, it was ignorant. It's crazy. Where's he going to ever work again?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Not now. It's just not now.
Where? Who can touch you right now?
Not right now. Not right now. I said not right now. But here's what I know.
I know what you want to say. Say what you want to say.
No. I'm
saying say what you want to say.
No, I'm saying that the best Monday night, he has been a part of the best. No.
John Gruden would never work on Monday night again, sir.
Michael Vick will never, ever play in the National
Football League. No, that's totally different.
He did the Muffy.
That's totally different.
Totally
different.
That's what they said.
Totally different.
All he has to do is just.
Totally different.
If he gets it out, he's going to come out when they negotiate this deal. 10 years from now, when they find, unless the Mannings take over Monday Night Football, unless they take over, and if somebody's hurting for ratings, somebody's going to give him a chance. And the first thing he's going to do.
I don't care how bad you're hurting for ratings. I've never watched a football game because of the commentator. Let's just get that straight. I've never seen nobody go home and say, I got to watch this game because who's commentating?
The ratings say that. The ratings.
Ooh. No, the ratings say who's playing, Jamie. The ratings don't say who's commentating.
I think that the ratings tell on a national spot. It's who the nation wants, who's got the best welcoming game to the nation.
No, John Gruden, it's look, the game.
Look
it's
at
not the voice. I never heard nobody say, man. Ron, have you ever said, I can't wait to go listen to this game?
It's if people are abrasive, if people are abrasive to you calling the game, you don't listen, you turn the sound down all the time.
The sound down, but you don't. Do you turn it off?
But do you turn it off? If somebody's abrasive, because see, what you got to remember now, TV is only cut down into 2 or 3 million people. In other words, like think about television. You got a successful show. Your wife's got a success. Your fiance, your wife to be, your betrothed has a successful show. She might have 300, she might have 10 million people watching the show. If it went to 9 million, there's something wrong with it. But 10 million is great, you know. And so what happens is it's the fringe of that margin. No. That's the difference.
No. The fringe and the margin are fringe are the entertainment. When you're talking about a producer of a show.
But the voices are not entertainment.
The ratings in the NFL do not go up and down based on who's calling the game.
Wait. Hang on. You tracked CBS's ratings from when you were there and when you weren't there, and there was a difference. I know that. You know that. Let me finish.
Jamie, you're totally wrong because you can't compare a pregame show to a game.
I compare people like to come see Dion, and then when Dion wasn't there, the numbers dipped.
It's a show. I kindly disagree that I've never in my life, I'm 54, rushed home to watch a football game because who was calling it. I don't even know. Because
you are Deion freaking Sanders.
Wrong.
You are prime time. There's no other prime time on earth.
Adam Verone.
There is no chance that I'm going to turn off a game because I dislike somebody. There's no way that I'm about to turn off. At most, it's a bonus.
No, I can give you a list of folks I turn off. No, I got to turn that volume down. No. By the way, Jonathan Vilma was amazing. He really calls a great game. I'm not saying I'm tuning in to watch him.
I can't wait to turn on to hear him.
No, I'm saying, but you can appreciate, because I know you appreciate people's talent.
I do, but I can't wait to turn it on to hear him.
No, I didn't say you did.
I'm going to rush to my set, to hear him.
All I know is the numbers say what they say.
The problem is that he made those statements while he was with ESPN. He was working at ESPN when he sent those emails, and ESPN is conveniently distancing themselves from that fact and making a boogeyman out of what he did.
They do that quick.
Well, we got to do the boogeyman too. Let's get up out of here. We got to get back to the next segment.
Wait, hold on. Let's just clarify this.
Okay.
We do not condone anything that John Gruden said. Not one iota. For him being terminated, what he said, how offensive it was. It is what it is. He got what he got.
That's what comes with it.
Listen, I'm just of the heart. I'm going to pray for him that he recovers and he sees the wrong and the damage.
What if he saw the wrong 5 years ago, Coach? That's the point.
Say that again.
What if he saw the wrong? See, this is the point you made before.
He may have saw the wrong five years ago before he became head coach. That's what I'm saying.
We don't get the chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do we ever have an opportunity to grow from yesterday?
It's a great point.
I'll see y'all next week.
All right, Jamie. Appreciate you, my guy. And can I just remind the good folks at home that this show is brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, a veteran-owned coffee company that serves premium coffee to people who love America. And they just continually are committed to supporting veteran law enforcement and first responder causes. In 2020, Black Rifle Coffee donated more than 6 million cups of coffee to deployed soldiers, law enforcement, and medical workers through their signature Buy a Bag Give a Bag initiatives. And the best way to enjoy a Black Rifle Coffee is joining the coffee club. You get your perfect roast, how much you want, and it's delivered to your door. They can take care of all the rest. It's free to sign up. You get free shipping and discounts on partner brands. And it's easy to access new products and club exclusives. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/prime. Use promo code PRIME and get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Stop fighting with tiredness every morning. Just get up, get some Black Rifle Coffee, and go. And speaking of the people fighting out here, Coach,
I love you, Black Rifle. Let me say that. I drink Black Rifle every morning. I'm a coffee guy. When I go to a restaurant, first of all, I got to have coffee in the morning. That's I gotta have coffee. My foot is during. I'm sitting up here with my foot hanging up with my. You know, I had surgery, but if I can reach back, Black Rifle Coffee is right there. But I every morning, I'm Black Rifle Coffee. Truly.
How do you drink your coffee? You
gotta have straight black with four Splendors.
Oh, you need it sweet though.
Yeah. Four Splendors, no cream. Four Splendors.
I'm usually a straight black guy. I'm an iced coffee black guy, but I'll throw it in the afternoon. I'll throw a Black Rifle. I'll throw in the K cup and just drink it at the office. I got some Black Rifle going right here, my friend. But I'm not going to fight off the sleepiness with the Black Rifle. But we did see a fight this past weekend. This Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, the third fight in the trilogy. About I don't know how many knockdowns. It was like four or five knockdowns. It seems like Tyson Fury might be one of the scariest heavyweights of all time.
Explain that. How you're scary. Explain, what do you mean by scary?
Scary means I wouldn't want to see that man in a dark alley. Scary means that the way that he carries himself, it looks like he's a little bit unhinged. Because I look at Deontay Wilder, 6'7", 230 pounds of just pure muscle. He's shredded. And Tyson Fury's not scared of him a little bit. In fact, he just keeps on driving forward at Deontay Wilder, fight after fight. It doesn't matter if he gets knocked out with one of the most vicious punches you could ever imagine. He's going to get up like a zombie, like Frankenstein, and keep on charging forward. Personally, he's a nightmare to me. But it seems like
it's almost like Fury knows he could beat him. It's like he knows that, and he's not afraid of anything that Wilder has. Wilder historically is, I think, the best knockout fighter that has ever lived per fight in his knockouts. That's what history says.
Yeah.
Fury does not care. He is not afraid. He has figured him out and he knows how to attack him. Now he's got his butt knocked down, and in this fight he did the same thing. But it's almost like when he was knocked down, he said, okay, I know what I did wrong. I made that mistake. I can't make that mistake again. Let me get back to my fight. And he got back up, went back to his fight, and was unbelievable. Like, it's hard to believe when you look at him. You say, it's no way this guy's going to beat this guy. Right. But that's when the knowledge and the expertise in the corner and everything is involved with you. And it's unbelievable that Wilder cannot beat this man.
Yeah, as much as I was watching Deontay Wilder's career, I felt like he's always been my guy. I love Deontay Wilder. Even as he was coming up, I think he was an Ohio guy. I would see footage of his knockouts and be like, he is the one. He is the one who's going to put heavyweight boxing on his back. He's the American fighter that we need. There's these British guys, Anthony Joshua, for example, or historically Lennox Lewis. We'll see these British heavyweights who are fantastic fighters. And I thought Deontay Wilder was going to be that next lineage, even going back to Tyson, if we're looking at knockout artists. And he ran into a buzzsaw in Tyson Fury. Bad body Tyson Fury. And it even makes it scarier that Tyson Fury has those love handles. That he has a little bit of jiggle with the wiggle anytime he's out there boxing. Because it seems like there's this next step of untapped potential where he just has a bad body, but he's still in incredible shape. He still can just get back from the dead anytime he's knocked out. It's truly dumbfounding to watch. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
This where do you go from here if you're Wilder? Like, you can't have four. You can't have four.
You can't.
You can't do that. Do you go on with your life just knowing I can't, this is just that one that I can't beat? Do you go to Joshua? Like, where do you go now? What do you do?
Yeah, I think
that humbling. It has to be humbling that this bad body dude is whooping me. I love Wilder, man. I love his veracity. I just love the way he presents himself, his swag, his humor. You know,
he's a family man. He was fighting for his daughter.
Man, I love it. But it just hurts so bad when I see him down, man.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question when you ask where he goes, because it's always seemed like, at least for the last 3 to 5 years, that there's been three names in the heavyweight class: Wilder, Fury, and then Joshua. But Joshua's kind of been able to sit on the sidelines and let them fight it out. So maybe you change your focus, but it has to be maddening to have one guy have your number. I know in battle rap, there's been guys where I have their number. I'm the bane to their existence. We've battled multiple times over years, over different decades, and I'll always beat them. There's been guys who I'll split with, and there's been guys who have been the bane of my existence, who I feel like I just can't beat. But it's psychologically maddening. It's psychologically insane. And Coach, I wonder if there's ever been someone for you that was just like the bane of your existence, like anything that they did, not that they beat you every single time, because I'm sure that didn't happen, but someone who was just right underneath your skin because you couldn't figure them out perfectly.
No. I'm sorry. Don't forget, I'm prime now. Don't forget.
I know.
Coach prime now, but don't forget now. It's all these quotes on this back of this wall, he's a real coach. All right. I never been one for peer pressure, but I do put pressure on my peers. That's from the chest, okay? Don't allow my confidence to offend your insecurity. That's from the chest, okay? A tiger never stretch before he get his prey. That's from the chest. A play don't care who make it, so it might as well be me. That's from the chest, all right? So, no, I ain't never had that guy. I had some guys that were tremendous competitors, Jerry, Michael Irvin, and so many other guys that really helped me become who I am. But somebody that just had me.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no. I love that.
And my son say, no.
Yeah, I've lost. I guess I haven't taken multiple losses to somebody. Anytime I had one loss, I always came back the next time and I got them, because it was.
But how do you know when they have you, wrong? Like, how do you know that they're in you and they got you?
It's the crowd. You listen to the crowd. Because me.
So the crowd let you know that they got you?
I'll tell myself, I'll be like, they didn't have me. Like, I know I didn't. But then I hear real crazy noise for them, and I don't hear that much noise for myself. And it's like, oh, this is bad news. There was a guy, DNA, that I battled, and he's one of the all-time greats now. But we both battled. I was 21. He was 18 when we first battled.
Wow.
First time I ever took a loss in front of a big crowd like that. And it was humbling.
How did you know you lost, though?
I mean, there were 5 judges at the end, and they said the DNA won. So
yeah, but sometimes judges are, you know, they're swayed a little bit. But did you, like, honestly, the judges can say what they want. A man knows if he lost. Like, we know.
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it in my chest. And so I would tell myself in the back of my head, like, okay, like, he might have got you, but I felt like my material was more, it was better. It was more
so clever. You found yourself a win, and you found yourself a silver lining in the loss. That's really what you're saying.
I found the silver lining, but then we ran it back about 6 or 7 years later. And that time he had to be telling himself psychologically, like, oh, I beat him. I got him, because I had the crowd going crazy. I had him eating out of the palm of my hand, and I was referencing stuff from the old battle. He had like tied a fake bomb to his chest, and so I was like talking about the bomb, all the stuff I should have said, and that's how I like I got that one back for myself.
Yeah, 6 years later, you took a 6-year layoff to get this one guy back. You 6 darn years this guy was in your head till you gave him another opportunity. 6 darn years, bro.
Yes, and it's like that sometimes. I'll stew on that. I'll just sit on it thinking about it because psychologically it hurts. I don't want to have that loss. I need to get that out of my mind and cleanse my palate to be able to get on to the next one. But these boxers have insane entrances. The showmanship is crazy. If you were ever in a situation where you were in a walkout type of situation, Coach, what would your walkout look like? I know you never got to walk. You always walked out as a team. But right. What if you had a boxing entrance? Who's doing the music? What actor's walking out? Do you have a theme to it? What do you look like?
It'll probably be some garb, you know, like the not garb. I like the way Floyd used to come out, you know, in different outfits. So it'll probably be a nice outfit, but I don't really know the song that could epitomize me. Probably Trick Daddy on I Don't Know Nam. Nam.
Nam. He doesn't know Nam.
Nam. The song Nam. Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about. I don't know Nam. Yeah.
I know. I mean, you got a pretty good song when you say hit my theme music in that locker room.
Oh, no. Yeah. YG. Hey, let me tell you something, man. My kids look so forward to when I get towards the end of my pregame and I say, now give me my, it erupts. But when you hear it, now give me my theme music and they know what's coming, oh my goodness, like the excitement, the adrenaline rush, I can't describe it, man. It's epic. It's epic.
It looks crazy.
Darn it, I love those kids. Like, I love those moments.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it's all about. Like, that's what you do it for. Like, yeah. You put in the hard work and you yell at each other and you fight with each other and you're in the weight room sweating so you can have that, like, release and you realize that you're a family. And even I watched the footage and I could just see on camera, like, oh, once that's coming on, like, my hitter, then you know yeah, that it's
over. It's over. Like, once that come on, it's over. Then the emotions of it, that's why I can understand Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, cries after a loss. And I see that you guys are written here. Would you cry like that? Does it help? Does it show your team you care? Did he play the crying card too early? You guys are crazy, man. Play the crying card too early.
They're 0-5. Coach, they're 0-5. At least wait until you're 0-12 to start crying.
No, that's too late. 0-12 is too late. 0-5, you can turn it around. You can still turn it around. 0-5, you can still turn it around. First of all, Dan Campbell knows what he got into when he got into it. You know, this team is perpetually bad. You know, this team has a history of losing, and you got to some kind of way get that spirit out of that locker room. I don't care if you have to clean house and just flip the whole roster. I don't know if that's what he's doing. But you got to get that out of the house. You got to get that thought process. When it comes down to it, you're having the ability to win or lose. Your guys are built to lose instead of built to win. But he's I don't know for a fact, but he's a phenomenal coach, and I'm pretty sure he's going to do what he has to do to turn around. But you can't control emotions, man. If they come, they come. You can't control those emotions that he displayed. You can't control them.
I used to watch Dick Vermeil as a coach, and I feel like Dick Vermeil
would automatic. Cry. Yeah, that's automatic. Dick Vermeil was automatic.
Yeah, he would cry every week. But as a player, would you ever look at your coach crying? What would your thought process be as a player about your coach?
It depends on why he cried. Like, why you cried. Like, it depends on why you cried.
Yeah, like, it seemed like it was just frustration that they're, like, putting in hard work as a team, and he wants it for his team. Like, he wants them to be able to win. And obviously, it's not like he's a macho guy. Like, he's obviously, like, a big, strong, macho guy. That's how he projects into the universe as who he is. But, like, I wonder if the team is like looking at him sideways, like, you know, this is just a job, like, you know, this is just a game, or are they like, okay, we're gonna go win it for the Kleenex box over there for the coach.
It's tough, man. But I tell you what, if you don't have guys right there with you, and they ready to cry with you and get in there toe to toe with you, arm to arm, you gotta get rid of them. You gotta get rid of them. If they don't want it as much as you do, if you want it more than they do, you got to get rid of them.
Is there crying in football? I know they say there's no crying in baseball.
It depends on what you're crying for. What you're crying for.
Yeah, like behind closed doors. Like I don't know if it's a performance, if it was performative crying, but in the locker room, are guys crying after a loss? Is it personal?
Some really are. I mean, they take it to heart. Some really want to win that much, and you respect that. You admire that. You want your whole team there. You really do. You want them to love it that much and want it that much that it hurts.
Yeah. I know one guy who probably wasn't crying, but he did take a loss is our buddy Coach Saban. Alabama fell to Texas A&M this past weekend. And I'm wondering, does that mean that A&M could beat the Jets too? Because we were saying last week that Alabama could beat the Jets.
Let me tell you something, man. This was just their day. It just happened. That's why when you win, I mean, I deal with the same thing. You got to find that intangible with your team to keep them hungry, to keep them thirsty, man, to keep them wanting to be dominant. You can't never allow complacency in your locker room. And Alabama is so darn good. They're so darn talented. And every week is a big game for them. Sometimes you can underestimate your opponent, and that's something you can't do if you plan on being the best. You can never underestimate your opponent.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of good teams in college football. There's a lot of good teams in the SEC. And I think that a mistake that a lot of prognosticators in sports will fall into is saying, oh, there's only two good teams in all the SEC. It's Alabama and Georgia, and that's it. And I think that we're kind of learning that there's a lot of good teams. There's going to be teams who are going to have a target on your back every week. Like you're saying, everybody's going to be throwing the book at Alabama, and they're going to have this for the rest of the year. They're going to have everybody trying to knock them off. You can get one loss. I feel like you're afforded one loss if you want to be able to make it to that Final Four.
It's got to be early or midway. It can't be late. You can't lose late. Yeah, you got right now or a little earlier, that's it. You can't lose late.
Like Ohio State's loss was almost at the perfect time. It was a couple weeks in. They lost to a good team in Oregon. They lost, but they also have time to build their schedule back up, to get a bunch of wins, and to win that Big Ten. So who knows where college football is going to go this season, but it's always a pleasure to watch. And it's always a pleasure to watch you boys down at Jackson State, Coach.
So, we're trying, man. You know what? We're happy we're elated about what we're doing. We have 200 recruits coming to the homecoming game. It's certainly a HBCU record. It's certainly something that has never transpired here. We have 200 recruits, and we're excited. We're happy. We're elated. It's going to be a phenomenal homecoming. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend. It's going to be a phenomenal week. We just got to stay focused and keep our eyes on the main thing, and that's winning the game and not get caught up in the hoopla. And I'm doing my best as a coach to keep them focused.
Yeah, while those 200 recruits are down there, they got to get some of that barbecue in Jackson. The barbecue was crazy. I was impressed by the barbecue. I've had barbecue in a lot of different places, Kansas City, Austin, North Carolina. I've had barbecue. They have some pretty good barbecue down there.
Jackson has some good food, period. They got some good Southern food and Southern hospitality as well. People ask me all the time, Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson. I say, you know what? I love Jackson, Mississippi. I really do, because I'm not an out person anyway. So I'm not going out partying, going to the clubs and not doing nothing like that anyway. But I love it, man. I love the hospitality. I love the atmosphere. I really love where I am. I really do. I enjoy it immensely.
Well, they got me running around doing all kinds of stuff, but I can't wait till I can get back down there, catch a game, get a plate, and hang out in Jackson, Mississippi with you, Coach. Appreciate it, as always, and we will see everybody later on this week with another edition of 21st and Prime.
Amen.
You know what it is, and for what it's worth, you can catch me on the best corner, 21st. Prime time, shine time, always in the game, never ever on the sideline. You know what it is, and for what it's worth, you can catch me on the best corner, 21st. Prime time, shine time, always in the game, never ever.